Well, thank you so much for having us here today with you. We are blessed. We are blessed to come together and celebrate with you. That is what we've come to do, to worship God and celebrate what he has done. We celebrate this amazing building. Amen.
Amen.
But even more than that, we celebrate God's people gathered to worship him in this building.
Amen.
Scripture says that it is a beautiful thing when God's people come together to worship him and celebrate in his presence. Just hear these few words from Scripture. Psalm 26, Yehuwo 26, Liti. Jehovah, Ginitan in kun the yendu, Yakunendau labukuslezikona in kazimulu yako. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Yehuwo 65. Blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Or maybe my favorite one, 2 Corinthians 6. Tina. Si tempeli li kan kunun kulu opilayo. And Jacob kubo washo un kunun kulu ukuti. Gia kusala pagati kwabo. Ihame pagati kwabo. Gia kubo un kunun kulu wabo bona. Ba benga bantu. Ba mi. We, Tina, are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will make my dwelling among them, I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are blessed to gather together as the people of God and worship and celebrate in his presence. And Kulula, it's easy to celebrate today. Angiti, it's a happy day. Gora, what about tomorrow? What about Monday to Friday? Ngawe, what about Isonta Elizaya? Or 1 month from now? Or 1 year from now? Is it always easy to celebrate? Is every day a happy day like this one? Well, no. Because the reality is, we do not spend most of our time in this place with these people. We spend most of our time out there. And out there, life circumstances can be overwhelming sometimes. It can be easy to lose perspective. It can be easy to allow how we think and speak and behave to be shaped more by what we experience out there than by what we experience in here. Uneasy. Or am I the only one who struggles with that sometimes? Okay, but the good news is we are not alone. Today's scripture was written by a man who was struggling to keep right perspective. He was overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, and he needed to have his vision refocused so that he could see past the circumstances of here and now and maintain long-term perspective. We are looking today at Psalm 73, Yehuwo 73. Psalm 73 was written by a man named Asaph, who was a musician in the court of King David. And in this psalm, Asaph is going to be very honest. In the beginning, he is struggling to celebrate in God's presence. But something happens to him that changes his mind and shifts his perspective. So we want to know what that was. What was helpful to Asaph, and what will help us in the difficult times? Read with me. Psalm 73, Yehuwo 73, verse 1, Liti. Impelun kununkulu unene ku Israel, kubo abenen kisiyo eslanzikileyo. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. This is what we expect the Bible to say, Angiti. Asaph is saying what we all know. Yes, this is how we're supposed to think. God is good to his people. He takes care of them. Keba. You knew there was a but coming, right? Yevesi 2 starts with Keba, but. Keba min, izin yao zami, zitlishe,
za kubeka.
Kwaba kuntare ukuba izinyathelo zami
zishelele. But as for me,
my feet had almost stumbled.
My steps had nearly slipped.
Something happened to Asaph which caused him to almost lose his grip on reality, to question what he knew to be true. But is God good to his people? Does he take care of them? What caused him to doubt? What shook his faith?
Verse 3. Ngokuba gabe nomhawu, ngabe zidlayo, labo ngibona ukubusa kwababi.
For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What caused Asaph to doubt and question what he knew to be true was this feeling of envy. Envy of wicked people. Now why would he want to be wicked people? Who wants to be wicked and arrogant? Well, he says it's because of their prosperity. He's confessing that he's feeling this envy, not based on what he knows to be true, but what he sees. And what he sees is these people, the wicked, but they prosper anyway. And that doesn't seem right to him. They're doing just fine. In fact, better than fine. In Asaph's view, they seem to be doing better than everyone else. Verse 4, he continues.
Gokuba, bona, the wicked. Abana buhlungu kuzukube sekufeni kwabo. Namanda abo aqinile. Abahlupheki njengabanye abantu. Abahlushwa njengabanye abantu. Ngakho ke ixolo lingumnako wabo. Indluzulu ibembese njengokubo. Amehlo abo apinxekile ngokunona. Imicabango yenhliziyo iyeqinqima.
They have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Hey, what's his image? The rich just keep getting richer. Their hearts overflow with follies. Asaph knows what is supposed to be true. God is good to his people and he takes care of them. But what he sees is that it appears that the wicked are winning. They're getting ahead. They're arrogant. They're prideful. They're as comfortable with violence as they are wearing their own clothes. And yet they prosper. And that seems completely upside down to him. And when that happens, when people behave wickedly and get away with it, they become so puffed up, they think they can say and do whatever they want. Verse 8 continues.
Bayoklolodela ebubini bakhuluma ngokuhla ngokukhahla bakhuluma bese kuphakameni umlomo wabo bawuphakamisele ezulwini ulimo lwabo luhambele emhlabeni.
They scoff. They speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue struts through the earth. You know people who speak like that? Who have become so full of themselves, you can see even in the way they speak, they think they're in a different category from everyone else. And this makes me think of a former American president. One time he was being interviewed on television, and the interviewer was criticizing him. And the president said, "Well, I can't be so bad because I'm president and you're not." That sounds like something a child would say. Or I think of the mayor of the city where I grew up. During COVID, like many places, she imposed a strict lockdown on the city. All the businesses were closed. You're not supposed to leave your home. Businesses like barbershops and salons, they're all closed. But then someone took a photo of her getting her hair cut. And this became public. And she defended herself and said, "Well, I'm the public face of the city. And I take my personal appearance very seriously." Can you believe that? That's like she's saying, "Oh, no, you stupid people. Those rules are just for you. They're not for me." Hey, when people get so prideful and boastful that they think they're in a category above everyone else, it's disgusting. But you know what's even worse? If we're really honest with ourselves, like Asaph, When we see that kind of boastfulness and pridefulness, there's an ugly little part deep inside of us that admires it. We begin to envy what we resent, because if we're honest with ourselves, we wish we could get away with it too. That's why even arrogant, wicked people have followers. Verse 10 says, Gako ke isi izwe sake si vuyela lava, amanzi amaningi, bazi muntela wona. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. That confusing little verse, it's an idiom, a metaphor, isponero. He's saying, the wicked, they have people eating out of the palm of their hands. They drink up every word that they say. Because when we see that kind of arrogance and pride and boastfulness, they say what they want, they do what they want, they take what they want, and they get away with it. Well, I kind of wish I had what they have, if I'm being very honest. At a certain point, these people become so inflated, they do not think they are accountable to anyone, not even to God. Verse 11 says, Bazi, un gulukulu wazi kanjanina. Imbalo kukon ukwazi, kopezukonke na. They say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? This is what we call practical atheism. Did you know you can believe in God and still be an atheist? The wicked here are not saying, there's no such thing as God, I don't believe he's there. They're saying, if God is there, and if he sees what I'm doing, he doesn't care. So I can live my life however I want. I think that's our problem in South Africa today, isn't it? This is a very religious country. Most people believe in God, but do they act like it? The more important question is not, do I believe God exists, but do I live in piloyami as though ubonile? He sees my life and he cares about the choices I make. It's our problem in South Africa, just as it was for Asaph, with these wicked people who think they answer to no one, not even God. Verse 12, Bekalaba Bayiwa Babi, Bazins in Jalo, Bandisa in Puyo. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, they increase in riches. Asaph is understandably confused, because he knows what's supposed to be true. God takes care of his people, he's good to his people, but he sees a different picture. He sees a world where it looks like the wicked are winning, might makes right, the rich keep getting richer, and winner takes all.
Sorry, that didn't set you. I'm cover the chair in Yama, so I'm going to try to move away from the chair.
When Asaph sees this world where it looks like the wicked are winning and they're the ones getting ahead, he begins to question, is it worth it? What is the point of faith and godliness in a world like that? Verse 13, he says, Impela, Gifanzeli is inhiziyami, Gatlami zalizami, Gingen entala. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. To Asaph, it looks like the wicked are at the top and I'm at the bottom of the heap. And he's starting to question, what do I get out of this faith thing? And maybe that seems self-centered. It is. But at least it's honest. And I hope that at least one thing we can take away from this song today is that you can be honest with God in your prayers. You do not have to clean yourself up and try to talk to him in a way that's going to impress him by pretending you're better than you really are. Look, God already knows what you're thinking and feeling, so just tell him. Just speak the ugly words out loud so that he can work on your heart. That's what Asaph is doing. He's bringing his honest struggle before God and saying, God, I'm wrestling with this. Not only am I not getting ahead in life, I feel beaten down. Verse 14. Mokuba,
vahlushwa usukulonke kwasa
yijeziswa.
All day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. This makes me think when I was in university. I worked a job for a while, a terrible job. I worked harder than everybody else in that place. I had a perfect on-time attendance record. I did everything that was asked of me, but the boss, Mpatiwa, he treated me like rubbish. I have hardly ever been treated worse by a person than this man who I worked so hard for and was making money for. And oh, I wanted to tell him exactly what I thought of him when I... But he knew that I was a Christian. And so did everybody else. So I had to watch what I said. I couldn't say what I was feeling. Like Asaph, verse 15. Uma bengi tikiza kukuluma kanjalo peka. Babe, gisa kosisile isi zukowane samantwana bako. If I said I will speak this way, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. To feel all of this inside, bottled up, and feel like you can't say it to anyone. You just have to keep your mouth shut because you don't want to discourage your fellow believers or bring shame before God. But you feel it. You're struggling to reconcile what you know to be true with what you see. And not being able to talk about that to anyone is enough to drive a person crazy. Verse 16. Asaph is at his wit's end. He says, Kwati abango kuba, giku tonelo, kwabu tubo emasueni an. When I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until. Ngaze. You knew there was another but coming. Right?
Yeah.
It seems to me a wearisome task until ngaze gangen enlini entwele kankunku, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Asaph's envy of the wicked is driving him to the point where he's almost questioning, is faith even worth it? What's the point? Until he goes into the sanctuary of God. And there, something happens to shift his perspective, to surpass his immediate circumstances, and maintain long-term perspective. Having gone into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Whatever it looks like right here and now, that the wicked may be winning, Asaph has come to understand that is not the end of the story. Verse 18. Impera. Ubabek ezindaweni ezibushelezi. Ubawisa baba yin tutikava. Maya batitwa ngoku pazimisa kwesu. Bashona babuba benovavo. Njengo kupo eku papa meni kos. Uya kudelela umpanakisu wabo eku bukeni kwako. You set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away by terrors, like a dream when one awakes, O Lord. When you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. This is the truth that Asaph is beginning to remember as he goes into the sanctuary of God, that the wicked do not win in the end, whatever it might look like right here and now. Where is Babylon today? Where is Persia? Where is Alexander the Great's Greek Empire? Where is Trajan's Rome? Where is Hitler's Nazi Germany? Gone. From God's perspective, all of these kingdoms and plebeians that were built on pride and boastfulness and money and military power and arrogance, they're nothing more than a bad dream. That you wake up from. And when you wake up from that dream, you forget all about it. That is not the end of the story. And now that Asaph is thinking clearly again, he can hardly believe what he was saying just a few minutes ago. Verse 21. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. See, envy is so poisonous because it blinds us to what we know to be true. And when we act out of that place, when we begin to live based on what we see and desire instead of what we know, we dehumanize ourselves. We become like beasts. You say, why? Because beasts don't live by truth, they just live by instinct. And when we realize that, hey, I haven't been living by truth, I've been living by my belly, my gut, my instinct, we feel shame. Sinamashoni, gapami, unkunkul, gola, unkunkul, who does not want us to sit in shame. Verse 23. Gebamin. Giakuba giku enja. Undi bambir and gesan sami sogune. Uyakundi hol and gesileko sa. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whatever it looks like here and now, the wicked are not winning. Their end, their inheritance, is to be destroyed and forgotten. Our inheritance is nothing less than the living God himself. That is where our story is going. Ginobani ezowini na, verse 25. Uma ginawe angifuni luto entabeni. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Having you, God, I don't need anything else. Forget about the wicked. I thought I wanted what they have. I don't need any of that. Because I have unkunkulu opinaya. When you do not have God, you will be consumed by a hunger that nothing can satisfy. You will spend your life living frustrated and restless because you are trying to fill a hole that nothing can fill but God himself. But when you realize you have God, oh, you can stop. You can rest content. Because you know that you have anything and everything you could ever possibly want or need. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be taken from you. And that is very practical theology, because that means you can be content no matter what your present circumstances, no matter how challenging they are right here and now. Verse 26, Asaf says, Inyam yami, nelhizio yami iepela. No unkunkul, uidwala lenhizio yami nesapelos yami kuze kube bakare. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Here's an easy question for you. What happens if your heart fails? You die. Right? So Asaph has come full circle. He has turned 180 degrees around. He started by saying, I see that the wicked are getting ahead, and that looks pretty good to me. I think I want some of that. Yeah. And now he's turned around and says, you know what? Forget that. I could literally die, and that would be okay. Because I know the end of my story, my inheritance, is the living God. Verse 27.
Behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You shall put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you.
No longer is he envious of the wicked, because he's seen where that road leads.
But
for me, it is good to be near God. No longer is he questioning if his faith is pointless. Now he's remembered the end of his story. Glory in the presence of God that begins here and now and continues on forever.
Genzilin kosim Jehovah,
I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. No longer is he saying, Ish, I just got to keep my mouth shut. I can't talk to anyone about this. Now he says, no, I need to preach and proclaim what I've come to understand. He's come back to the beginning. Truly, God is good to his people, and he takes care of them. So how did this happen? Asaph had a complete change of mind, total shift in perspective. Now he's not looking at these immediate circumstances. He's seeing past them to long-term perspective. How did it happen? What did Asaph do that brought this change? Pachimisa Izvi, what did he do? What helped Asaph? The sanctuary. He went into the sanctuary. And Enlini. And Dwere. And everything changed. So we want to know, when the guy and Vinian play, what happened in the sanctuary? Because the song doesn't say. It's just this one little line. I went into the sanctuary. But if we remember the rest of Scripture, we can know at least three things for sure that happened in the sanctuary. Oka. The works of God are remembered. God's works are remembered in the sanctuary. The first thing Asaph would have seen upon entering the sanctuary was blood. Igads. Everywhere. Because of the animal sacrifices that God had commanded. Blood on the altar. Blood on the ground. Blood on the priests. And when Asaph saw that blood, he would have remembered the work of God to save sinners. Here he is, a sinner, envious of arrogant, wicked people. And yet the God of the universe provided a way for him to have atonement from his sins and forgiveness so that he could be reconciled to God through these sacrifices and come into the presence of God. And then as he proceeded further into the sanctuary, Asaph would have heard God's word read out loud. He would have heard the ancient stories of God's faithfulness, his steadfast love, how he rescues and delivers his people, and future promises of the coming Messiah, Ukristu, the one who would rescue his people from Izi to Zetu, the one who would save them from their sins, the one who would bring God's kingdom. This is what Asaph would have heard. In the sanctuary, God's works are remembered. In the sanctuary, God's songs are sung. Asaph would have heard many of these same songs that we have today sung aloud in the sanctuary, giving voice and validation to his own experience. He would hear songs of praise and lament, of thanksgiving and despair, of earnest petition, cries for justice. Lord, the world is not the way it should be. Make it right. And as he heard these songs sung, he would have been reminded, he's not alone. Because the whole temple is full of voices singing these songs together. Opasitatsu. In the sanctuary, God's people are gathered. Asaph would have been in the company of his brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when you're with other people who believe as you do, you don't feel so crazy anymore. Huh? Out there, the wicked are going to do what they're going to do. But in here, are those who know it is good to be near God, who sing his songs, and who remember his works. Asaph's envy of wicked people drove him to think faith was pointless until he went into the sanctuary. That is what helped him. So he was very honest about his experience. Let's be honest about ours. Is this relevant in South Africa today?
Do bad things happen to good people in South Africa today?
Yes.
Do good things happen to bad people in South Africa today? Yes, we all see it. We see thieves and criminals get away with violence and with impunity. We see politicians who become fat and rich and powerful through greed and corruption, and no one seems to hold them accountable. And when we focus on that, it can be very confusing. We think, hey, that's not how the world is supposed to work. And if we keep our attention there, we're going to start going down a bad way. So what do we do when we see all of that? What do we do when bad starts looking good to us? When bad starts looking good, get back to the sanctuary and get some perspective on my head. Buy and lean and wear. Ibe gengelin iso. That is the main idea of Psalm 73. Get back to the sanctuary and get some perspective. Buy and lean and wear. If you don't remember anything else I said today, that's okay. But remember this, get back to the sanctuary. Buya and vini and dwen. And when I talk about the sanctuary, I don't just mean this building. I mean the people gathered in it and everything that comes with it. I want to speak to Abantu Abasha. My young people, my learners, right? Navigating life in this world is really, really hard for you. I think it is harder for you than it ever was for me. Because of this. This is a wonderful thing and a terrible thing. It's wonderful technology. I thank God for it. I use it every day. But it's a terrible thing. Because through this, you get 10,000 messages every day about what it means to get ahead in the world, about what it means to be a good person, to have worth, to have status, to have meaning. What does the good life look like? You get 10,000 messages a day through this phone, and almost all of them are rubbish. But how about them? Okay? And you know this. You have a voice inside that says, I think that's wrong. But boy, does it look good. Wow, does it look really attractive on here. You're only seeing the short term. If this is what is, this is where you're getting all of your messages about the meaning of life, you're only seeing the short term. And you need to be reminded that this is nothing. It's like a dream. Here today, gone tomorrow. This will not bring you lasting satisfaction. Please hear me on this one. If you want some perspective on life, if you want to know what the good life is about, don't go to TikTok. Get back to the sanctuary. To get some perspective on life. To my peers, Omam, Obaba, Navaholiban, hey, we are not talking about either. We need this message too. In large part because Simata Sinje. Life is so busy, eh? There are so many people making demands on our time, telling us what is most important, where we must go, what we must do. We have weddings, we have funerals, we have birthday parties, we have holidays, we have kids' sports, and it becomes harder and harder to prioritize the Sunday morning gathering. So, this is my word to us. If the day comes when you realize you only go to church on Sunday because you have nothing else going on that day, abela. Watch out. That means we have started to allow how we think and speak and behave to be shaped more by what we experience out there than what we experience in here. Nati futi. Get back to the sanctuary and get some perspective on life. Buya elini enkwere ibeg engelin iso. Not just because it's a good thing to do. Not because we are legalists who want to check off on our list. Yes, I went to church today, that means I'm a good person. No. We need this because this world is messed up. And there are 100,000 voices screaming at us from every direction, confusing us, causing us to second-guess ourselves, to second-guess God's word, and we are constantly in need of refocusing to have our attention drawn from the present circumstances upward so we can maintain long-term perspective. This is where we do it. This is how we do it. And when and when in the sanctuary of God. And I don't just mean the building. I don't just mean the building. I mean these people, God's people gathered. So this is my encouragement to you, Tumbleweed Church, my exhortation to you. Let this building be a place where God's works are remembered. And then and when. This is the reason, that we take the bread and the cup. This is the reason, Sivun Ibayadeli, and tell the story over and over and over again. Because we forget. We forget. We get so distracted by what's going on out there. How easily we forget the work of God to atone for our sin and provide forgiveness through His Son Jesus Christ, through His blood shed on the cross, the one who was delivered over for our transgressions and raised for our justification, so that we can be reconciled to God and share a resurrection life with Him, starting now and carrying on into eternity. Focus on that, Bazalan. Lift your eyes to things above, not things below. That is what we need to maintain long-term perspective as we try to navigate a broken world. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves over and over and over again so we do not forget the work of God. Let this building be a place where we sing the songs of God. Sipula amtulo and vini and because singing songs of praise and worship is one of the means God has given us to lift our eyes, to drown out the voices out there that are trying to tell us what life is about, and drowning out the voice inside that we're trying to live by the truth. Because you could come in here, and I don't know what happened this week. You could come in here, maybe you're envious of the wicked. You wish you had what they had. Maybe you're resenting a brother or sister. You're holding on to a grudge. Maybe you're just feeling discouraged because you had a long week. Whatever it is, it's hard to hold on to that once you start singing, isn't it? And God knew that. That's wise. And finally, let this place, this building, be a place where God's people are gathered. Because scripture tells us that each one of us is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Each one. And if one is missing, then the whole body suffers. And the one suffers. If God's people are not gathered in this beautiful building, it's just a building. We need each one here. Bring the spiritual gifts and the insights and the love that God has given you to contribute to the whole body. You cannot do it alone. There's an old story about a man who had not been to church in a long time. And Mpundi Zuwake went to Vakashe. He went to his house. And so the man thought, uh-oh, the pastor is here. But the pastor didn't bring up church. He didn't say anything about, hey, how come you're not coming to church? They just went inside. It was a cold day. Ahalapanzi by the fire. And they just had a nice chat. Church didn't come up once. And after some time, the fire had gotten very, very low. It was mostly just coals left. And without saying a word, Mpundis took the tongs. He reached and took one coal out of the fire and set it on the stones. And they watched this coal, and for a while, it glowed warm and bright, but then it got darker and darker until it was black and cold and dead. And then, without saying a word, Mpundis pushed the coal back into the fire, and immediately it grew warm and bright again. And the man looked at his pastor and said, thank you for the sermon. I'll see you on Sunday.
If you think you can do the Christian thing alone, if you think you can live your life in isolation from community and maintain the long-term perspective you need to navigate this broken world, you're kidding yourself. You are not alone, Christian. So don't live like it. Get back to the sanctuary and get some perspective on life. Buya and being and man. This is how perspectives are changed. This is what sustains us for the long term. So, next week, or next month, or next year, when you're discouraged, when it's not a celebratory day, when it's not a happy day, remember Asaph. Remember Psalm 73 and God's word to us there. Asaph's envy of wicked people was driving him crazy to the point where he was ready to chuck the whole thing until he went into the sanctuary of God. And there he had his focus lifted up past the present circumstances to remember the end of the story. There is a God of justice who will call all to account. The wicked, their inheritance is to perish and be forgotten. Our inheritance is Unkunukuru Opibai, the living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's the group of a God? So Buya and Dini and Tuede to this place where God's works are remembered. God's songs are sung and God's people are gathered. Amen.